Well, Fletcher, what do you mean you're going to sleep in the courthouse yard?
Exactly that. You appreciate the different one sleeps in the courthouse yard?
They don't do it in the wintertime. They don't do it on the 23rd day of November.
Think and Save, brought to you by Oxidol, the soap that's famous for washing clothes so clean, they're white without bleaching. The title of tonight's story from Oxidol's White Without Bleaching book is The 90-Pound Wonder. But surely, Mrs. Baxter, you weigh more than 90 pounds.
Oh, well, I'm not the 90-pound wonder. It's my friend, Mrs. Harris. She's really a featherweight.
And what about her?
Well, she has no washer. But even though she's so tiny, she gets her clothes so white they really sparkle. Well, I even asked her if she bleached them.
What did she say?
Told me no, that she uses Oxidol, and her clothes come white without bleaching.
Yes, Oxidol washes even the grimiest pieces, so honest to goodness clean, they're white without bleaching. It's an actual fact, proved by scientific tests, that Oxidol's lively hustle bubble suds wash clothes cleaner and whiter than less active soaps can ever do. Wash all your white things, except maybe for stubborn stains, so clean they're white without bleaching. Wash colors and rayons come out sparkling, too, because Oxidol's so wonderfully safe for all of them. So for a wash you're proud of, hang up an Oxidol wash that's white without bleaching. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Bickercook and their son, Mr. Rushcook. For the last half hour, our friends have been occupied with sections of the newspaper, but a moment ago, Sade thought of something interesting to relate. Listen.
We know Mr. and Mrs. Donahue went to the moving picture show last night because we saw them leave. And what time was that about?
Oh, 7:15.
At 8 o'clock. And that's correct because the courthouse clock was striking. Miss Harris happened to glance out her living room window, and there was Donahue's attic light burning away like a racehorse.
Donahue's attic again, huh?
No, but listen.
I bet Donahue's leave that attic light on just to bother inquisitive neighbors.
That attic light was swinging.
Swinging?
Swinging back and forth.
By George, Mom, if this deep mystery keeps on going, pretty
quick. The other stuff we heard about Donahue's attic did sound more or less flimsy and imaginary. I laughed at it myself. But here's Miss Harris with a story that makes a person prick up their ears and pay attention. Miss Harris don't tell fibs, and she's not a hysterical woman, and she's not...
Somebody in the kitchen.
What?
I heard the kitchen door open.
Where?
Gee whiz.
Evening, lady.
Oh, for mercy's sake. Mighty, mighty, mighty cute.
The living room, my
lady. Yes, Uncle Fletcher. I don't consider it so terrible smart to try to scare a person out of their wits.
I apologize.
So do I.
I know two wise guys I bet I get even with.
I have Dwight 26er with
me, Sadie,
honey.
Good evening,
Paul. Good evening, Mr. 26er.
Oh, Dwight. Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
You're looking first-rate, Vic, honey. You on deck also, are they, Russ?
Yeah.
Yeah, in weather on board, but I see.
Dwight's got his mouth full of shingle ale.
Yeah, Jerry always have my mouth full of shingle ale. How about that fire measure? I don't feel it, but I have my mouth full of shingle
ale. I can translate everything Mr. 26er says.
So can I.
I got the knack of understanding Dwight whether his mouth is full of shingle nails or not.
Well, what did he say just then?
Yes.
What did Dwight just say then, Sade?
He said, I generally always have my mouth full of shingle nails.
It's a habit I've cultivated.
I don't
feel natural without my mouth full of shingle nails.
Fine, fine. That's exactly what I said.
Fine, fine. That's exactly what I said.
You're catching on too, Doc.
Anything that requires mentality is duck soup for me.
Vic, Sade, Rushy, honey, I'll tell you why I and Dwight stopped fast.
All right.
We are sleeping tonight in the courthouse yard. We're going to publish a piece in the newspaper about it.
When
did you
get
that? Neither did I. Any paper, the newspaper requires, is going to write up an article about us sleeping in the courthouse, too.
I'll tell the story.
Oh, it's all right.
You describe garbage as well as the next party, but with your mouth full of shingle nails, you sound kind of slushy and vague. Your auditors run the risk of misunderstanding the different things you say.
Yeah, sure.
I and White, Vex, Aid, and Rushy Honey are sleeping tonight in the courthouse yard.
No.
Well, he's not fooling, ma'am. That's the truth.
You're not going to do any such a thing, Uncle Fletcher.
My married daughter and two of my sleeping Ohio listen to the
Excuse me, Mr. 26th. Uncle Fletcher, what do you mean you're going to sleep in the courthouse yard?
Exactly that. You appreciate the different one sleeps in the courthouse yard?
They don't do it in the wintertime. They don't do it on the 23rd day of November.
Sweet Corn McBlock sleeps in the courthouse yard. Michigan Fishigan from Michigan, Michigan sleeps in the courthouse yard. Roy Delfino, B.B. Baugh, Hank Gutstop, Brother Unbelief and his imaginary brother, Y.I.I. by Skeever, all the different ones sleeps in the courthouse yard.
That's one red-hot outfit you're naming off.
Just how do you mean, Sadie, honey?
Not one of those ginks is worth the dynamite to blow his hat off.
I have been laboring under a misapprehension, I guess, Sadie, honey. I was under the impression you loved and respected Sweet Corn McBlock.
Oh, boy, I love and respect him till I can't hardly stand it.
It had been my partly veiled notion that you held Pelter Unbleed and his imaginary brother in the highest esteem.
I'm crazy about them both.
It is apparent that a man must occasionally alter his ideas.
I bet you altered his sleeping outdoors idea. Yes.
People were growing quite sharp and frosty.
Yeah,
that's a woman all hard feeling, Fletcher. Perhaps when you feel if we might return to your help with him outdoors.
What, Roy?
I say, maybe your niece, Mrs. Rumor, can't fool by keeping out the corner guard. See, my...
Thunder, Dwight, what are you talking about?
I got my mouth full of treacle, Bill.
Sound like you got your mouth full of celery and sewing machine oil.
Right.
So, Sadie, honey, here's the story on it. Ernie Pompel, he's the reporter downtown. He wants I and Dwight to sleep in the courthouse yard tonight because it'll make an interesting article for his Nitwit newspaper.
You see, Mrs. Cook, it's too late in the year. It's unusual for...
I'll handle this way.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
Aren't you afraid you'll swallow some of those shingle nails?
No.
I'd be afraid.
I'm not afraid of nothing.
What? I'm not afraid of nothing.
We're quite through with our conversation, pardon?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Fletcher.
I beg your pardon, Fletcher.
Yeah, that's easy.
Sadie, honey, the thing on it is the Sweet Corn McBlock and Roy Delfino and Pelter Unbleed and his imaginary brother and the different ones sleep in the courthouse yard during the summertime, but they quit around the 1st of October. Here it is late in November. Like news of a couple of half-wit sleeps in the courthouse yard late in November.
Half is right.
Ernie Pompel suggested this plan to I and Dwight, and we're going to go ahead with it. And tomorrow morning, there'll be a piece in the paper covering the story and photographs and everything else.
I hope my article will appear in the first page, as
you say. Yes, the article might even appear on the first page, Ernie said.
Did you tell your landlady your dandy plan?
What in thunder has my landlady got to do with it?
Plenty. Why, I bet she'd call the police if
you... Lady, honey, I find this difficult to believe. But the suspicion is gradually crawling up my spine that you are laboring under the impression that I and Dwight stopped past to obtain your permission to sleep in the courthouse yard.
That same suspicion is gradually crawling up my spine also.
You think I stopped past to obtain your permission to embark on this venture?
Yes.
Lady, honey, you are mistaken.
Hey, old pals, bring it up.
Yeah, we don't want our business bring it up.
Lady, honey, I'll reveal the true reason I and Dwight stopped past.
Uncle Fletcher, honey, let's quit this bickering. Not like you and me to raise our voices at each other.
That's a sucker. Very nice, a sucker.
Sadie, honey, I and Dwight stopped past to recruit Vic and Rush.
To do what?
Recruit Vic and Rush.
Recruit them to do what?
Sleep in the courthouse yard.
Oh, now, listen.
We want five chaps to be in on this.
Ernie Pompel said that it was a fairy story about five sleeping booties in some
book. Permit me to handle it, Roy.
My name is Dwight.
I know your name is Dwight.
Will you call me Roy? Oh,
please, Roy. I mean, Dwight.
Well,
that's fair. Lady, honey, Ernie Pompel, the newspaper reporter, told us there was a famous story for the children which told about the five sleeping beauties. Ernie thought it'd make a better article if there was five of us, different ones, to sleep in the courthouse yard. Uh-huh. Then he could refer to us in his piece as the Five Sleeping Beauties and make a connection with that famous story, you see?
Yeah.
I and Dwight thought Vic and Rush might be interested.
Ask them and see what they say.
Vic and Rush, honey? I
know.
Beg your pardon?
Not interested.
I understood you to say not interested.
Yeah.
I see. In that case, Dwight, let us proceed across the alley.
Okay.
What across the alley?
We will undertake to recruit Miss Harris' father, Merman Spraw.
What?
I am sure, Sadie, honey, that you'll forget.
You'd ask Mr. Spraw, over 90 years old, to sleep in the courthouse yard on the 23rd of November?
He gets too much pampering, that old fella. An elderly chap like Spraw, he ought to expose himself to a few hard knocks and get toughened up before the nitwit women makes a milksop and a mollycoddle out of him. If I was an elderly gink like
Uncle
Spraw...
Uncle Fletcher, have you gone out of your head or what?
Come on, Dwight.
Yeah, Fletcher, I'm worried.
Uncle Fletcher, you simply are not going to sleep outdoors tonight.
Sadie, honey, I am astonished.
Be astonished.
Mrs. Cook, my married daughter is Gentleman Simpson from my me the other day.
Mr. 26er, you're not going to sleep outdoors tonight either.
Well, my married daughter is Dismal Seepage, Ohio.
What would your married daughter in Dismal Seepage, Ohio, say if she knew her father planned on doing a silly, ridiculous, childish thing?
Bless you.
I bet I know what she'd say.
Yeah, I don't know what she'd say.
Come on, boy.
Okay.
Goodbye, lady. Goodbye. Goodbye, Vic and Rush, honey.
Bye, Uncle Fletcher.
Goodbye, Mrs. Cook.
Goodbye, Mr.
26. Goodbye, Mr. Cook. Goodbye.
Well, so much for that fine, elegant little piece of business.
There's not the slightest possibility that they will go sleep in the courtyard, is there?
Nah. Rush, hand me that section of newspaper on the floor by your feet.
Which concludes another brief visit at the small house halfway up in the next block. Now, at your house, do your youngsters get their clothes so dirty you wonder if you should bleach them to get them white again? Well, as Oxydol users know from happy experience, Oxydol will wash those clothes white without bleaching. Why, Oxydol's Hustle Bubble Suds are so industrious, they lift dirt out. Wash even your grimiest pieces so clean that except maybe for stubborn stains, they're all white without bleaching. And Oxydol's grand and safe for all wash colors and rayons. Try Oxydol. See your clothes come white without bleaching. Listen Monday night, same time, when the makers of Oxydol again bring you Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. But right now, let's
say, did you know that just one cake of Camay can mean a smoother, softer skin? Say, did you know that just one cake of Camay is the way you should begin? You ought to try it now. You'd better start today. The Camay Mild Soap Diet is the lovely woman's way for softer and more glamorous complexion. Camay, Camay, Camay.
Remember, for a smoother, softer complexion, change from improper care to correct care with Mild Camay.
This is Rye Pillsbury inviting you to be with us again Monday evening for Vic and Sade. Until Monday then, good night. Help win the post-war battle of supplies by saving used kitchen fat. It's urgently needed for thousands of peacetime necessities such as fabric, soaps, and paints.
Save every drop. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.